Our scripture reading this morning will be from Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 25. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail for Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yes, now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told you.'" You may be seated.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be here with you. I saw on Facebook last night, Jamie put up a report that they had a great day yesterday in El Salvador, and we're thankful for that. They said they had three baptisms, and about 500 people from area churches came to celebrate the new building that we had helped build and support, and our construction crews have gone down and worked with over the last year. So we're thankful for that, and pray God's blessings upon them today and upon their return trip tomorrow. And Rudy will be there, Layla and Daniel working throughout the week, and we pray for them. Also great to have Wesley with us. Glad to have you with us. And can you turn me up just a little bit more? Turn my volume up a little bit. And we're thankful that he can be here and look forward to getting to know him better and for you getting to meet him today. So be sure and do that. We are thinking about Acts chapter 27 this morning. Open up in your Bibles to Acts 27. And I want to begin with the story that David Shannon, the president of Freed Harmon, told. He'd been preaching at a church for a while, and it was a man who he respected highly. And he was a retirement-age gentleman now, and he had always thought that he had had such a strong faith. And he said, one day this man said, "Hey, I'd like to take you out to lunch one day this week." And he said, "Sure." And so he made sure he prioritized going out to lunch with him. And he said he could tell when they sat down at the table that he had something he wanted to talk to him about. And he began to speak to him and talk to him about a time in his life when he went through a great storm. He said that, "I grew up in the church and I had an active faith and a strong faith, but when I was raising my kids, my family went through a tremendous storm." And he told that story of difficulty and tragedy and about how he had a time where he experienced a great loss of faith and a questioning of God and of insecurity with God and an anger toward God and even a leaving of the church. He said, "David, wherever you go, whatever you do, be sure and preach Acts 27. He said, "It was Acts 27 that I could relate to more than any other passage of Scripture when I was going through this storm, and that it helped me get through the storm of my life." Now, Acts 27 is not a passage that you probably would think of when it comes to this. Acts 27 is a nautical passage. It's a passage about Paul going on a ship and enduring a storm. It's probably the most accurate and detailed description of ancient shipping practices that we have, not only in the Bible, but in secular writings too. But it is so much more than that. It is a passage that I believe, after I've studied it, like this man said, to preach Acts 27, and after I've studied it, that I think it has a tremendous metaphor and an analogy for our own lives too. Because each of us will have, I believe, at least one, some maybe more than one, storms in your life that you're going to have to endure that will cause you to question your faith, to even have anger at God, and to have discontent with the church. And you need to know Acts 27. In Acts chapter 27, Paul, who's a prisoner of Rome, has been journeying to Rome in order that he can testify before Caesar. And so he started out, you see, way over here in Judea at Caesarea, where he has made his appeal to Rome, and he's traveled up, and he's going to come all the way over to a place called Fair Havens in the island of Crete. And let's begin reading in Acts 27. We're going to do a lot of reading in the Bible and applying this, but because of the passage, let's pick up in our story at verse number 5. And when he had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia and came to Myra and Lystra, there the centurion who was guarding and taking care of Paul found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. But we sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmone, coasting along it with difficulty. We came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. So now they have come all this way with difficulty to the place in Crete known as Fair Havens. We're going to observe several things of Paul's storm that relate to our storms in life. And so we're going to think about in the midst of the storm. When you're going through the midst of a storm, the first thing that you will probably notice is that life seems to become difficult. That is, as the storm begins to approach, it seems that life just seems to get harder. You know, sometimes life goes well. Sometimes life, for whatever reason, is just kind of coasting along. It seems like everything is just going well, and you feel like, man, things are going well. And you know what we probably typically do? We give ourselves too much credit. Man, I'm making good choices. I've made good decisions. Life's going well. I'm doing well in life. And you're kind of coasting along. But then sometimes some headwinds begin to come. Paul and them had made this journey, and things were beginning to get difficult. It was not a time in life where things were going well. It seemed like things were getting hard, and they could not journey across the sea easily. Paul would say that the passage said that they arrived with difficulty. Verse 8 says, they coasting along it with difficulty, they came to the place. Sometimes life becomes hard. It just becomes difficult. Storms begin in life when life begins to become difficult and complicated things begin to pile up. And then notice in verses 9 through 12, when they were in this area of Crete and they're wanting to go on toward Italy, they make some other decisions. Since verse 9, much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast, that is the Day of Atonement, had already passed. Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than what to Paul said. Because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. In the midst of a storm, fear begins to consume. When life becomes difficult, we can get afraid. And when fear begins to take over, we begin to worry. Fear seems to travel with worry, doesn't it? And fear begins to point us in the direction of looking at all the storm clouds, looking at all the things that could go wrong. We begin to get anxious. We begin to lose sleep at night. We begin to get worried about financial things. We begin to get very fearful about our relationships, our marriage, or our relationship with our children. And we begin to get fearful on these things. We begin to get paranoid about how other people are treating us. Or we begin to get fearful about our own health. And begin to even sometimes get to be a hypochondriac about our health because of these things. And all these things can happen as this storm is coming over us. Life becomes harder. Fear begins to consume us. And we don't live life with courage and with hope and with faith, but we begin to live life thinking of, well, what's the worst that can happen here? And let me avoid that. Here's the thing I'm afraid of, and so let me make sure I do whatever I can so that that fear does not become a reality. I believe many times that Satan knows what we fear the most, and he tries to bring that upon us. He tries to attack us with things that we fear the most. And as we begin to fear, it almost opens up avenues for Satan to attack us with. Paul said, guys, I don't think we should go out. When I was studying this, I read that according to ancient sources, sea travel was particularly dangerous from September the 14th through November the 11th. But it was considered extremely dangerous from November 11th to March 10th, which is when they would be going out. Visibility, mist, and fogs, as well as the constant threat of severe winter storms, rendered this period inadvisable as a time to travel. Most ships did not travel it. This ship was a grain ship. It was carrying wheat. And Rome often insured grain ships because they had such a need for grain in Rome to feed all the people that the emperor had said that if you will be willing to risk your ship, and it is going to mean that the ship is caught up in a storm and it is destroyed, the emperor will insure that and will pay for you another ship in order to get people to sail during this very difficult and inadvisable time. They wanted to try to venture out. What they're going to try to do is to just make it on up the harbor. Let me back up so I can show you. They're going to try to make it just back on the harbor. See, you see Fair Havens here. They're going to try to sail just 40 miles down to Phoenix. Stay close to the shoreline and make it to Phoenix. This is a harbor that is safe for wintering in. They did not want to try to sail all the way on up around here to Rome. They were just going to try to make it 40 miles so they could get a harbor that would be suitable for staying during these very dangerous times. But let's read about what happens. Life becomes difficult, fear begins to consume, and then forces hit you that you cannot control. Look at verses 13 through 18. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeasterner struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught up and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Caudia, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boats. And after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship, and then fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. Notice in this stage of our storm, forces are hitting us that we can't control. They gave way, verse 15, to the wind. Verse 17, they were driven along. In the Greek, this is where we get our word for typhoon. The Greek word here describing this wind is where we get our word for a typhoon. They were in the midst of a very strong typhoon, if you will, wind. This type of term, this type of wind called a Northeasterner, is also called a gregal today. In 1555, it is reported that this wind drowned 600 persons in the city of Valencia, the principal port city of the island of Malta. This type of wind is known in that area for coming in this time and it driving and creating a tremendous storm that is going to carry ships away. It was feared. When you think about storms that hit us in our life, many times the storms that hit us are like this wind, aren't they? Things happen that we cannot control. Life has been going along well. The wind begins to make it more difficult. We begin to have fears, feel insecure, and then the real storm hits. Things happen. People do things that we cannot control. Things with our health happen that we cannot control. We might lose a dear friend or family member. They may pass from this world. We cannot control that. We might lose a job. We cannot control that many times. We might have our wealth decline tremendously because the stock market bottoms out. We can have all kinds of a range of things happen that happen in another world that are things, that are forces that are happening to us that we feel like, what? I didn't do anything to deserve this. Forces that are happening that we cannot control is what happens to Paul as he's in this storm. And I think anyone that's gone through a storm in their life feels like things are happening that they did not invite. Maybe even things that they feel like they didn't even cause, that are driving them and pulling them into the midst of the storm. But then notice, during this storm, all comfort and security is gone. We lose this security. We lose this comfort. Notice that in this storm, they had wanted to stay close to the shore, verse 13. They were just going to stay close to the shore. Now, we just got back from the beach and had a great time. And one of the things that, you know, we tell our kids is, don't go out very far. Stay close. Now, if you're in a boat, and if you're out in the ocean, most of us that maybe are new to boating, you go out, you want to stay close to the shore. Now, if you know it's an incredibly difficult time to be sailing, and you only have to go 40 miles, you want to stay right on that shoreline. It's a harbor on down the shoreline. What do you want to do? Stay close to the shore. You just want to keep sight of the shore so it gives comfort. But the wind drove them away from the shoreline. Notice, they are going to run under the security of another small island. And they're going to have it for a short time, but soon it's going to be taken away. And then verse 18, they're going to be violently storm-tossed. Verse 19, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. They lose all the common routines that you would normally do. In fact, we're going to find out later on that they go 14 days without eating food. They start jettisoning the cargo. They are probably so violently storm-tossed they couldn't even eat food. And then we find out, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest lay on us. Now, if you're in ancient sailing times, what did they rely upon? You remember back when you were in school and they taught you this, right? The ancient sailors looked up and they calculated incredibly with math and all. They calculated their position based upon the only thing they had to calculate their position on out in the middle of the sea, the stars. And they loved and appreciated the sun coming up every day. It gave comfort and warmth. Imagine being in a ship in the midst of a violent storm and not being able to see stars or the sun for days. Surrounded by darkness in a small ship violently tossed about, they lost all security and all comfort. When you go through a storm, things that you rely upon are often taken away. Your regular routine that you've been doing for years are taken away. That's what's so hard about when you lose a dear loved one that you've maybe lived with for years or that you have worked with for years, because that routine is gone. Or when you go through a tremendous health scare or storm in your life, what you used to do is totally thrown off and changed. Or when you go through a terrible financial setback, or when you go through a terrible divorce, and all divorces are terrible, aren't they? You think about all the routine and all the things you've counted on and everything that you, the shoreline and the stars that you've made your life based upon, everything you've used to kind of balance your life and give a course to your life are stripped away. And you're in darkness. And you look up and you don't even know where the stars and sun are. And you know, when you look up, even today, we still connect in some ways the stars and the sun with where God is, the heavens above. We got stood out and looked up at the moon and the stars, and you think how awesome and how powerful our God is. And imagine for days in a storm-tossed ship not having any ability to see the stars. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where your life is going. You don't know where your life has been. And you don't know when land's going to come. All you know is that you are surrounded in darkness. All comfort and security is gone. But then you lose hope. Look at verse 20. Even the Apostle Paul and Luke, who was on the ship with him, seems to have gone to hopelessness. They say in verse 20, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. They gave up hope. How many days do you live in darkness before you say, we're just going to all die out here? We're going to all give up hope. When you think about hope, I have read and studied different naval disasters. And one is the sinking of the USS Indianapolis in World War II, which had received a torpedo. And it sunk. And I think something like 700 men went into the water. And if you read those accounts and study that story, you'll find that after many of these men are going to spend, before they're rescued, I think it was like 5.5 to 6 days in the water. And they tell you stories about those who did not survive. And one of the common stories that you'll hear and read about is that men gave up hope. They took off their life jacket and let it stay up and just slipped underwater. They had to stay in groups to protect themselves from the sharks, and they just passed their life jacket to someone else and swam out away from the group. They couldn't take it anymore. They gave up hope. When you're surrounded in darkness and you don't have any way to fix a bearing on your life, even the greatest, like Paul and Luke and these faithful of God, can lose hope. Can lose hope. In the midst of a storm, you can lose hope. But notice, it seems that in the midst of a storm, we really realize that all you have is God. That is, the shoreline is no longer there. The stars are no longer there. The sun is no longer there. You no longer have all the things in life that you use to regulate. In other words, everything that you've counted as dear has been stripped away. Every way you came of defining yourself has been stripped away. And ultimately, it comes down to all you have is God. You see, Paul says in verse 21, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Because notice this. This is the 14th day we're going to find out. After 14 days, we're going to find out it's been 500 miles they're going to travel. This very night, Paul knew, or God knew Paul was losing hope. He knew these men were losing hope. And so that very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I worship, said, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So verse 25, and here's the message you need to hear when you're in the midst of the storm. Here's the message you need to remember in your mind when you're in the midst of the storm. Take heart, for I have faith in God. Take heart. When you think about Job and the storm that Job went through, and he lost everything and everything was stripped away, the only thing Job had was God. In the midst of the storm, take heart. You can never take away your faith unless you choose to give it. You're the only one who can give up your faith. The storms can't take it. Satan can't take it. Take heart. You have faith. You have faith. All you have is God. That brings us to what really matters. That challenges the core of our beliefs. That was the whole point of the book of Job. When Satan said, look at Job, he only serves you because of the shoreline. He only serves you because of the sun. He only serves you because of the hedge, because you blessed him. Strip it all away, God, and Job won't serve you anymore. God says, take him. Afflict him. Take his children. Afflict him. Take his health. And Job continues to have faith in God. All Job had was faith. All we have is faith. And so you yearn for an escape. Notice verse 29 through 30. And so they're still in the midst of this storm. Paul said, don't get out. Verse 29. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and they prayed. When you're in the midst of the storm, you're probably going to pray for day to come. You're just going to say, God, how much longer can this go on? And as to the sailors, they were seeking to escape from the ship. When you're in the midst of the storm, I will guarantee you, the one thing you're going to want is an escape. How many times have people said, I am hurting so bad, I just want a way out? We talk a lot to young people, and we need to talk to everybody about suicide prevention. You need to think about why people commit suicide, why people turn to drugs and alcohol, why people give in to sexual addictions and pornography and do all kinds of things. Many times it's related to this very concept. They just want an escape. They don't know how they can keep going. They just want an out. They just want relief. They want something to take it away. They want drugs. They want alcohol to just take them away. So they want an escape. The sailor said, I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving. Look, this ship is busting up. I'm done. Let these guys fend for themselves. I'm getting on this smaller ship and I'm going to try to sail to land. They wanted an escape. When you're in the midst of a storm, you will yearn for an escape. But here's the thing. You must not give in to the escapes that Satan offers you. Satan will see it as an opportunity to say, You deserve this sin. You're entitled to this sin. This will make you feel better. This will allow you to cope. You had to endure so much. Surely you deserve this. You're only going to make it by if you do this. Satan will say, you need this escape. And everything in you will want this escape. And you've got to remember your faith in God. And so the last thought here is you find strength in fellow travelers. You find strength in fellow travelers. Last thought before we get to the shore. Paul said, guys, take some food. Verse 33. It's been 14 days since you've eaten. You need to eat some food. I urge you to take, verse 34, some food, and we'll give you strength. Verse 35, he said, they took bread, giving thanks to God in the presence of them all. They began to eat. And notice verse 36, they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. You find strength in fellow travelers. When you're going through the midst of a storm and you're yearning for an escape, look to others who've been in the midst of the storm before. You're not the only one who's gone through that storm. You know, when you're in the midst of a storm, the first thing you're probably going to want to do is quit going to church because you think those people are just going to judge you or they're going to look down on you. They're not going to understand. Don't quit going to church. When you're in the midst of the storm, you're going to want to quit praying because you think God doesn't care. Does God even want to listen? Don't quit praying. When you're in the midst of the storm, you want to quit reading the Bible because what does the Bible really say? It got me into all this stuff. I'm just trying to follow the Bible. Don't quit reading the Bible. Lean upon the church. Lean upon one another. got to do as Paul said. Take some food. Pray with one another. And be encouraged with one another. In the midst of the storm, life becomes difficult. Fear can consume you. Forces can hit you that you cannot control. All comfort and security are gone. You can lose hope. You realize all you have left is God. You are going to yearn for an escape, and you can find strength in fellow travelers. But I want to close with this thought. Storms often end, and they will end at some point. They end with you swimming to a new land on a new day. Storms, and this is the point that man was making to David, is that I've come through that, and the man you've known me to be was not the man I was then, but I am the man I am today because also of the storm. You swim to a new land on a new day. The storm will pass. You read the end of this section, and they shipwreck, and the ship is going to all bust up. And you read verse 43, but the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan, that was of killing the prisoners. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. So it was that they were all brought safely to land. You know, many times you come through the storm not walking. You started the storm strong and in nice clothing, but you end that storm just crawling up, swimming on a plank to get to new land. It has humbled you. It's broken you. It has caused all kinds of problems, but you make it to a new land. When you think about this story, and you think about making it to a new land, you realize the hope that has come. And you realize the new life that has come after the storm. When you think about this story, and you think about the overall plan of God here, Paul was in the midst of the storm. And when I did a little research, the Mediterranean Sea is 970,000 square miles. The island of Malta, where they hit, is 17 miles long and 9 miles wide. That's 95 square miles. The island of Malta is only 95 square miles in a sea of 970,000 miles. Now, that means that, Malta is 0.00979% of the sea. They were in a storm 500 miles. They wanted to go 40 miles. They went 500 miles all the way out here in 14 days. They did not control any of the ship during that time. They gave way to the storm, and the storm just killed them. They were in darkness, had no way of knowing where they were at and where they were going. But God, He knew all along. He told Paul, "You will end up on land. No one will lose their life." The storm had covered the ship, but God saw the whole world. God still knew the entire sea. He still knew where that little island was, and He directed that ship to the new island and to the new land. When you're in the midst of the storm, you can't see anything. You're feeling nothing but pain. And you may think God is not there, but take heart. Have faith in God. He's still the Lord of the world. He still sees the entire world, and He still knows where you're at. And He will guide you through the storm. This morning, if you're not a child of God, please consider letting God be at the helm of your ship. Putting Him first in your life. If you're not a Christian, please become a Christian. You can't make it through the storms of this world without God. Can't make it. You need God. If you need to come back to God, if you've left God and you want to come back, please come as together we stand and as we sing.
To follow Jesus.